Long, long ago, before the family left the old country, and what a business that was, my child, oy, there was a young man of our people.
Grandpa, I don't want to hear a story. I want to watch TV.
TV. It's always TV. I don't want to hear about TV. You talk about TV one more time, I won't be responsible for my actions.
For Christ's sakes, Grandpa.
Enough. Your parents. What kind of things are they teaching you? In the old country, you'd never hear any of the family taking that name in vain.
Grandpa, it's just something they say over here. Everybody says it.
Oh, and I suppose if everybody cut off their heads and stuffed asafoetida into their mouths and buried their hearts at crossroads, then you'd do it too?
Grandpa.
Fine, fine, fine. It's my fault. I'm old. I remember the old ways, so what do I know? I don't watch this MTV. I don't know anything. So who listens to crazy stories?
Grandpa. Grandpa, I'm sorry. Look, I'll listen to the story.
Oh, so now you're doing me a favor, is that it?
Grandpa, I want to hear the story. I really do. Grandfather, please? Grandfather?
I've forgotten it.
You what?
I've forgotten it.
You haven't forgotten it. Come on, Grandfather. It began long, long ago, before the family left the old country.
Long, long ago, before the family left the old country.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 18, The Hunt.
There was a young man of our people. He was poor, but he was honest, and he lived in the forest with his father. The forests today are poor things. These were the real forests of the old country. Many entered them who never came out again. They were wilder, darker, stranger forests. There were shadows in the undergrowth between the close-packed trees. And in some of those shadows, you might see eyes, like wolves' eyes.
Wolves?
Trees there were. Old as trees can be, huge, and grasping with hearts black as sin. Strange trees that some said walked in the night.
Okay, it was a forest. It had trees in it. I'm not stupid. I got it.
So you want to tell the story? Maybe I should listen. You tell it so well.
I didn't say that. It's your story. You tell it.
In the summer, the forest was warm, and the true bears roamed. In the winter, it was cold. Oh, cold enough to freeze the skin off your face and freeze your piss before it touched the ground. In the winter, the true wolves would come down from the steppes, driven south by hunger. And there was sometimes precious little food for them, and less for us. There were few true folk in the forest. Here and there, perhaps a woodcutter or a charcoal burner and his brats. Hunters were few, but dangerous. There were clearings, and in some of the clearings, small settlements had sprung up. Nervous men and women and children huddled around flickering bonfires, hoping somehow to keep the darkness at bay. The young man's mother had died, bringing him into the world. She gave him life, a small wooden finger ring, and the name Vasily. There have been worse legacies.
Vasily? But that's...
It's a pretty common name. Anyway... Vasily and his father lived far, far from any others, deep in the forest, and saw no one, or almost no one, for travelers in those parts were few and foolhardy. The lad was 16 when a peddler woman came to their part of the forest.
Was she one of us?
No, girl. She was gypsy, Romani stock, a wise woman. She had a babushka shawl, two good teeth in her head, and two eyes bright as a bird's. She was an old woman, with straggly gray hair. Over her shoulder, she carried her pack with a few things in it. She was singing to herself to keep her courage up. And then she saw the young man sitting in the undergrowth, still as a stump.
You can come out of there, boy. Don't think I don't see you, because I do.
Vasily rose up from his sitting place. His hair was brown and long. His eyes were green. His clothes were made of soft deer leather.
And what do they call you then, when you're at home?
Vasily.
Listen, I'm hungry, boy.
Mm-hmm.
In the blink of an eye, Vasily was gone. And in another blink, he was returning, carrying a dead rabbit.
Rabbit? That's good eating. Thank you, Vasily.
They sat down then and there, and the old woman took out her pocket knife and skinned and gutted the fresh rabbit.
Do many of your people live around here? You don't have to be scared of me, lad. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm looking for customers. That'll do. Here, let me show you what I've got. All manner of wonderful things. This is the emerald heart of Koshay the Deathless. He kept his life in this heart, but a woman stole it, and he died. This is a cloak of night. There is a country far in the north where day never breaks. This cloak was woven from the silk of black worms who feed on the leaves of dark trees in lightless caverns beneath that land. This is the drum inescapable that Ampusa crafted from the hide of wyvern and the wood of Yggdrasil. If you beat this drum, nothing can escape you.
This cloak is fine stuff, and this emerald.
But Grandpa, how did an old gypsy woman get hold of all those wonderful treasures?
Are you crazy? An old gypsy woman's going to be walking around the forest with the emerald heart of Koshay the Deathless in her pack, or the drum inescapable.
But you said...
She was Romani. He was an outsider. It's no crime for them to cheat the outsiders.
All these things are so fine.
He'd never seen so many beautiful things in his life.
What do you want for this?
Give it back, son. He has nothing to pay for your baubles, old woman. We are poor forest folk and have nothing to spare.
Father...
You are meant to be hunting.
I was, father.
Ah, he's a good boy. Don't be hard on him.
Come, Vasily.
Thank you for the rabbit, young man.
My son, you must not talk to folk in the forest. They mean us harm.
She was just an old woman. She seemed well-intentioned.
She is not of the people.
His father said many things to him that night about the people and the folk outside the forest. But Vasily didn't listen. He was thinking about the old peasant woman and her pack. The next day, the old peddler woman was walking through the forest. She had cut herself a stick to lean on as she walked. Vasily came out of the trees and walked along with her.
My father says that the things you showed me are valueless trinkets.
Oh, you startled me. I didn't hear you coming. Not that my ears are what they were. Value is in what people think, not in what is real. Value is in dreams, boy. But you were good to me yesterday. Roast rabbit last night, cold rabbit today, and tomorrow. That's good deeds.
She pulled out of her bag a locket on a chain. She showed it to Vasily.
Look.
What is it?
She opened the locket, and inside was a tiny portrait of a young woman.
It's a picture of the Duke's youngest daughter. Here, take it. It's yours. You look at her. Once, I was more beautiful than her. I had long black hair, and I could walk, and I could smile. And I danced in every town from Skarv to Vietka. And every young man who saw me looked at me with fire in his eyes. I made mistakes. I'm not saying I didn't. My father wanted to marry me off to a fine man, but I ran away from him and got my heart broken. Do you understand me?
No.
I always followed my heart. Oh, you've a good heart. I'm Romani. I can tell. I'm sorry, my darling. I was 1,000 leagues away. Here, give me your little finger. Look into my eyes, and I'll tell you your fortune.
The peddler woman held out her hand, little finger extended, and Vasily did the same. Their fingers locked. But when she looked up at Vasily's face, into his strange green eyes, the woman jumped back in alarm.
No! What? What are you? Keep away from me!
And the old woman scuttled off into the forest like a frightened rabbit. The boy returned to his father's hut. The inside was piled and hung with skulls, deer skulls, horse skulls, rat skulls, rabbit skulls, and other trophies. His father returned that night with the stag, and together they flayed and butchered it. Together they hung the meat to dry.
It's a big one. Yeah.
We need it.
For winter was coming, and winter, as I told you, was cruel. At night, he'd take out the picture of the Duke's daughter and stare at it.
What did she look like? The woman in the miniature.
Oh, she had eyes as blue as cornflowers, lips as red as poppies, skin whiter than milk, hair as gold as the setting sun.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I get the idea.
You asked, Miss Okay, I get the idea.
Sorry.
The young man stalked the forest in the coming days, but his heart was not in the hunt. The beasts he killed, and beasts were getting harder to find as the days drew in, were killed without pride. He gathered wood without joy. He ran without delighting in his speed or his silence. One day he took his handkerchief and wrapped up his few possessions, some tarnished bronze coins, a small bone that he had carved into the shape of a small bone, a thin wooden finger ring his mother had left him.
A small bone that he had what?
Carved into the shape of a small bone.
But it was a small bone already.
He carved it into the shape of a different small bone, all right?
I'm only asking.
Look, Celeste. This is what happened, okay? Do I ask you to explain, Michael Jackson lyrics?
I don't like Michael Jackson anymore. Only dweebs and kids listen to Michael Jackson.
Last week you liked Michael Jackson. This week you don't like Michael Jackson. So what am I, a mind reader? His father was away, hunting. Vasily thought it best to leave before he returned home.
And my parents complain when I get back late from a party.
This was the old days, in the old country. We did things differently then. The lad set off into the forest. He had a stick over his shoulder with his handkerchief tied on the end, containing everything he thought valuable. And some leagues off, he encountered the peddler woman for the last time.
Old woman?
Her body was already cold, and the blood where her throat had been torn out had already hardened to a black crust. There was a look of terror on her face. Her pack was still on her back. Days later, Vasily reached the forest borders. Now, instead of the handkerchief, he was carrying the peddler woman's backpack. He arrived at an inn and went inside.
Good day, innkeeper.
Ah, good day, young fellow. We don't see many peddlers in these parts. Which way did you come?
Through the old forest.
Oh, the devil you have. Don't you know that forest is home to ghouls and ogres? You were lucky to escape with your life.
I saw nothing that could have hurt me.
The devil you say. Well, what are you selling, peddler boy?
An emerald, a little drum, a shirt, a book, other things.
Mm-hmm. And which way are you going from here?
Which way is the palace of the Duke?
Two full weeks travel west. You must have devilish rich pickings in that pack of yours, if you were to seek to peddle to the Duke.
Vasily ate lightly of the inn's indifferent food, then went up to his room. He bolted the door.
No good.
The legs of the bed were bolted to the floor, and it could not be moved. He went to sleep on the hard floor in the opposite corner of the room. The inn had been quiet for some hours when a panel in the wall above the bed swung open.
Huh?
And an axe crashed down on the place where his head would have been. There was a moment of silence, and then, through the hidden doorway in the wall, Vasily saw the innkeeper. The innkeeper climbed through the panel, he put down his candle, and turned to find that his axe had only sliced through an empty bed.
What?
And that is when Vasily snuffed the candle. Vasily had learned a valuable lesson that night. Before he left the inn, he took back the coin he had given the innkeeper for his food and lodging, feeling quite justified in so doing. He set off due west, away from the sunrise, well rested and well fed. 2 days of travel, and an early snow was beginning to fall, when up to Vasily on the road came the tallest, thinnest man he had ever seen. He wore spectacles, a tricorn hat, and his ears were pointed.
Where are you bound, young peddler?
Asked the tall, thin man.
I am bound where my feet take me, and where my heart wills,
said Vasily.
And what do you have in your pack, young peddler?
Oddments and trinkets, sir. Nothing of any value.
Value is in the mind of the buyer, not the peddler.
And is there anything you'd be seeking?
Indeed there is. I'm looking for a book. I thought perhaps you could sell it to me.
And what would I be doing with a book?
You aren't the first to carry that pack, young man, are you? So, have you my book?
I have many things, including what I have been assured is in all probability the Emerald Heart of Koschei the Deathless.
According to popular report, Koschei the Deathless kept his heart in a duck egg, and it was destroyed by a young gallant 200 years ago. No, it's the book I'm interested in. What's your price?
And Vasily reached inside his clothing and pulled out the locket. He opened it and showed the portrait of the Duke's daughter to the tall, thin man.
Here.
Oh, dear me. Good gracious, no. I can't pay anything like that. I'm just a librarian. A librarian who has lost a book.
Very well.
And the young man threw his bag back over his shoulder and continued on. When he looked back over his shoulder, the tall, thin man had gone.
So, this thin man, was he one of the people? Was he a fairy or something? I don't believe in fairies.
Of course you don't believe in fairies. You're 15. You think I believed in fairies at 15? Took me until I was at least 140, 150 maybe. Anyway, he wasn't a fairy. He was a librarian, all right?
It all sounds suspiciously postmodern to me, Grandpa. Are you sure this is really a story from the old country?
Listen, blood of my blood. Although I'm a hard man to anger and love you deeply, if you interrupt me again, so help me, I'll rip out your throat with my teeth.
Sorry, Grandfather.
Vasily was alone on the road, although a raven flew far, far above him as he traveled. The sun fell and rose and fell again. He saw no one on the road. The snow had turned into sleet, and thick mud slowed his progress. On the evening of the third day, he reached the borders of another forest, and it was there that he again encountered the tall man. This time he was dressed in a swallowtail coat with striped trousers and a waistcoat. He was carrying a sack of his own. He spoke to Vasily.
You've got my book.
I've got a book.
The tall man took the sack off his back and tipped it out onto the ground. Gold glittered in piles in the wet mud.
This is yours,
he said.
If you give me the book.
Vasily just stared at him.
I don't want gold.
No?
You know my price?
I'm not getting you the woman, and that's final. Do you know the bother I had getting the gold without anyone noticing?
I'm a peddler. I have a book for sale. If you can meet my price. If not...
Yes?
I can burn it.
It won't burn.
Then I won't burn it. But it won't be yours unless you meet my price.
Oh, dear.
And as he said the words, the tall, thin man disappeared. But his voice was still there for a moment.
Can I get back to you on this one?
That night, the clouds cleared, the moon was full, and Vasily made good time. After a while, he left the path and ran through the forest, loping gently in the moonlight. He scented a high scent in the air, the smell of deer. Weighed down by his pack as he was, he gave chase to the deer. He followed her for leagues, across scrub and heath and wood, exulting in the hunt. He found himself wishing that the chase could go on forever. Himself and the deer, bound together, hunter and hunted, until the end of time. But all things must end. And as he tensed for the final leap, a small figure leapt out of a bush onto the stag.
What?
It was a girl, dressed just like Vasili. And as she brought the stag down, she twisted and broke its neck.
A good evening to you, kinsman. If you had been faster, you would have caught her, not I.
I am carrying a pack on my back. Were it not for the pack, I would be faster. I have chased her for many, many leagues.
Oh. The girl stood up, throwing the deer over her shoulder as if it weighed nothing.
Your people any here?
Huh?
Can I accompany you?
If you wish.
There was an encampment of the people there, in the heart of the wood.
He tried to catch this deer. He failed. I succeeded.
They asked him no questions. He gave them no answers. He had never seen so many of the people before, but they were his kin, and he was not afraid. Now, behind the camp was a small hut on chicken legs, scratching idly in the dirt. And outside was Baba Yaga, the old witch woman. She was smoking her pipe.
A good evening to you, great lady.
Well spoken, little cousin. And what have you in your little bag for your old auntie, then?
I have something you've always wanted, good gossip. The Emerald Heart of Koshei, the Deathless.
Baba Yaga grinned then, and her teeth glinted iron in the moonlight.
That would be treasure indeed. And what would you want from your old auntie for that?
I need to get to the Duke's palace.
Hearing this, Baba Yaga got to her feet.
Tell me, boy, have you ever ridden the night sky in a mortar?
And with that, she picked up her great pestle and climbed inside her mortar. Vasili followed.
A mortar? Like a mixing bowl?
With a pestle. The stone baton to grind things up in it.
Oh, okay.
She beat her pestle 3 times against the side of her mortar. Under the full moon that night, Baba Yaga and Vasili flew in her mortar over the villages and churches and towns, their hair and clothes streaming out behind them in the wind. The black shadow of Baba Yaga, babies screamed and mothers miscarried, milk soured and men went mad. Below them, Jews were burned in their houses and Romani travelers were beaten to death. Night birds screamed, and owls hooted, and wolves howled. Faster than the wind they rode that night. And before dawn, they landed in the courtyard of the Winter Palace of the Duke. Vasili leapt out of the mortar. But Baba Yaga said,
Well, my payment?
With goodwill, great lady.
And thus, with both hands, he gave to her the green glass heart.
This is the Emerald Heart of Koshei the Deathless. Well, good luck to you, boy.
She beat her pestle 3 times against the side of her mortar. Churches fell down, roads cracked, towers crumbled. And Baba Yaga rose high into the air, screeching loud enough to wake the dead.
Hold on. I thought you said it wasn't the Emerald Heart of Koshei the Deathless. You said the old peddler woman had lied.
Maybe I was mistaken. Maybe Baba Yaga was easily fooled. Who knows?
Huh?
You shouldn't trust the storyteller. Only trust the story. Anyway, the young man went up to the great door and banged heavily on it with his fist. It was opened by a small fat man holding a candelabra, wearing a wig which stank of powder.
Yes?
Vasily showed him the picture in the locket.
I seek this woman.
Oh, you do, do you? So, it's true what they say about the full moon, then? Goodbye.
I have come many leagues to see her.
Oh, great and noble lord, I would not dream of denying you anything. But the noble lady must be woken, and she must be dressed and bathed and powdered before she sees someone as important as yourself, peddler boy. Follow me.
The little fat man with the candelabra led the young man down the corridor of the great hall of the palace, which was in truth not very grand at all. Vasily followed, his pack over his shoulder, looking around him, fascinated. It was the biggest real house he had ever been in. The little man stank of fear, but Vasily could not smell it, for scent and powder surrounded him like mist, and Vasily was unused to the folk of the cities.
Down this way, sir. The steps lead to the waiting room.
At the bottom of the cellar steps was an iron door.
Here. Wait in here, my lord. The noble lady will see you shortly.
And the young man went in.
When hell freezes over...
Vasily spent the next few hours hunting for a way to escape. His only companion was the skeleton of a former inmate, left there to die. He tried to force the door, but it was cold iron. There was no window, and the cell was lined with mortared stone.
Damn!
He was hungry now. He opened his pack and took food from it, eating it but sparingly. He was of the people, and he could see in full darkness because he hadn't ruined his eyes with television.
Grandpa, my eyes are fine.
Okay, so can you blame an old man for being concerned? So your eyes are good too, that's good. His eyes were better. He drank the water in his pack, measuring it out a mouthful at a time. Eventually, there was no food or water left. We of the people are hard to kill. And harder to kill the older we get. But he was young, and without food or water or moonlight, he would die the true death, a slow death and far from noble. Vasily resigned himself to his passing. He sat in his cell, under earth, under stone, guarded by cold, cold iron. And he waited, hungry, thirsty, and weak for the end. At first he thought he was imagining the light. But it grew and grew. And holding it, suddenly appeared the tall, thin librarian he had met twice before.
Hello, young man. I've come for my book.
If you had waited another week, then you would not have to ask. You could simply have taken it from my corpse.
It's not that simple. At this point, the book is your property. When you die, technically it becomes the property of the Duke. And I really have no desire to open negotiations with the Duke. It would almost certainly attract attention, which is something I'm doing my best to avoid. Goodness knows what my lord would say if he learned I'd let a book be stolen from his library. Do you know how long it's been since I mislaid a book?
No.
Well, let's just say the continents weren't in their current shapes. Not that that means anything to you.
No.
So, suppose we do a deal. Your freedom for the book. Yes?
No.
No?
I am of the people, ma'am. What I seek, I find. What I hunt, I take. I can hide in a shadow. My teeth are sharp enough to cut bone. I run on four legs as easily as two. I am kin to Duaro and Night Gaunt. I owe allegiance to none born, and I fear nothing. I want a woman!
Oh, dear. Well, you'd better come with me, then.
He followed the thin man through a door that hadn't been there a moment before, and found himself in the library. It seemed to go on forever. A beautiful hallway, lined with books in every direction.
Where are we?
Shh! Now quiet through here. Very, very quiet. I can take shortcuts, but only through the library. We mustn't do anything to attract his attention. Be very, very quiet.
Lucien? Ah! You did not tell me we had a guest. Stop that. Well, Lucien, I'm waiting.
Ah, well, Lord, I must admit, I was hoping that you wouldn't find out about this.
Your newfound habit of bringing home strays?
No, not exactly. Oh, these spectacles.
Lucien.
There is a book missing from the library, Lord. It is in the possession of this young man. But everything's all right. I've sorted it all out, and he's going to give it back to us for an, price.
I see. And what is his price?
So the young man showed him the miniature in the locket, and the Lord of Dreams listened to his tale. And then he smiled.
I see. Give Lucien the book.
Here.
Lucien?
Yes, this is the one. The Merry Comedy of the Redemption of Dr. Faustus by Marlowe.
Very good. Now, let us visit your lady friend.
One step forward, and they were in the bedroom of the Duke's youngest daughter, whose name was... I don't remember. Natasha? Something like that. She was asleep in her bed. She lay unclothed under a cover of furs, and was even more beautiful than the miniature.
She dreams of walking through a covered market, looking for cornflowers and finding only goblets of sour blood. Well, do you dare wake her up?
Vasily touched the woman's shoulder, and she opened her eyes.
Hello. What? What are you doing in my chamber? Who are you? Who are these people?
Vasily looked at her. She was beautiful indeed, and pale, and fragile. She was everything he had dreamed of. He took off the locket and put it in her hand.
This is yours.
Oh.
And now?
I'm hungry. Take me away from here, please.
The Lord of Dreams took the young man back to his palace, and Vasily feasted there on venison and hare and pheasant and kid. He drank tokay and sherbet and fine brandy. When Lucien asked Vasily about the Duke's daughter, he shook his head and said nothing. But the Lord of Dreams knew that wishes are sometimes best left ungranted, and he did not need to ask. Vasily awoke in the forest.
What?
And one night in early spring, when the crescent moon hung sharp and white in the sky, he ran through the woods in the shape of a wolf. He recognized her scent from far across the wood. The hunt lasted for hours, until at the end his teeth closed gently on her neck, not breaking the skin. And she lay still.
Vasily!
Ish.
And then, flickering and shifting from wolf shape to man shape, they celebrated their union. And the people came from hundreds of leagues around for the wedding. And they lived happily together until death parted them.
And that's it, huh?
Yes. That's the story.
It's kind of sexist.
It's not sexist at all. It's the custom of the people. Or it was, before we came here.
So how did the Dream King's book get into the old peddler woman's sack in the first place?
The Dream King tells me his secrets? It just was, that's all.
There isn't any Dream King. Just another made-up person and another dumb story. I know what this story is about. My parents put you up to this, didn't they? It's about Christopher, isn't it? It's about my boyfriend.
Why would it be about your boyfriend?
Because he's not one of the people. He's one of them. Jesus, you're so transparent, Grandpa. Look, we don't live in the forest anymore. This is New Jersey, not Novaya Zemlya. And I can go out with whoever I want to.
It was a true story.
True? Give me a break.
It's a story of the people. Don't you want to know where you come from? Who you are?
Not really. It's sexist. It's insular. And the moral is that people are happy with the people. Big surprise. I knew I should have watched TV. At least that doesn't try to pretend that we're still living 500 years ago.
But it wasn't about your boyfriend. It wasn't really even about the people. It was about what he saw when he looked at the sleeping woman. Why he turned his back on her. It was about dreams. My fault. I thought you'd want to hear the story. You watch your television. Your parents will be home soon.
Good night, Grandpa.
I wish you could have known your grandmother. She was an amazing woman. She knew the value of things. But she never let me forget that she had beaten me to the deer.
Grandfather?
Good night.